enchanté.
Welcome back, Tidy Whiteys, to another Two Tight Ends podcast. I am your co-host, Connor, and with me is a man whose average time on the toilet is 27 and a half minutes. It's Neil.
Ayo, and I'm trying to raise that average up. We'll see. I'll give updates if I can manage to do that.
I'm sure you'll be able to.
if I put my butthole to anything, I can do it.
Now I've put it to a lot of stuff.
Oh man, you're gross, dude.
whatever, dude.
So I kind of mentioned it on the end of the last podcast, but this one is going to be a little different than most. We're recording this right after we recorded the last one, because you know it's Thanksgiving, we got some traveling, we just got some scheduling conflicts, so this episode is going to be a lot more entertainment focused. Not any sports really, because yeah, they would all be what's the word? Obsolete, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we pretty much covered everything we wanted to talk about in the last episode. So
yeah, so like I said, let's get right into it. So Connor and I decided to pick a movie and watch it, one we haven't seen before, and we're gonna actually review it right here, right now. The movie is called Midnight Special. It's on Netflix right now. I believe it came out in 2016. It's got some pretty big names in it, actually.
It's got a great cast. That's something I really wanted to bring up. So we'll talk about it.
But just a warning, this is going to be heavy spoilers, just for you guys to know. So if you really wanted to watch it, which I don't think anybody knew about it, because I didn't know about it.
I had no idea I'd never heard of it.
But yeah, just so you know, there will be heavy spoilers. But yeah, let's get right into it. Connor, you wanna start giving a little synopsis for
the movie? I can kind of sum it up. So, I mean, basically, the movie is about a little boy and his father who escape from a like religious compound in Texas for like a, you know, one of those crazy radical, basically cultish religious groups. And the boy has like special powers. So really the boy, supposedly like all their scripture and other things come from this little boy, and you see it throughout the movie where like he's got these weird like things where he, I don't know, like at one point he's speaking Spanish in the car and they like turn the radio to a Spanish station, and what he's doing is he's literally rattling off
you learn as you go, you know, they give information slowly throughout the movie. But as you go, you learn that the kid intercepts radio frequencies, radio transmissions, stuff like that. And he can pretty much copy them. Like, he memorizes it.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like he gets, like, a live feed is what's happening.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, and so because of that, the government gets involved because they figure out he's receiving these, like, what's the word? Like, classified radio transmissions from government satellites, and they have no idea how, and it just gets crazier and crazier as it goes. Like at one point they're at a gas station and he makes satellites like rain down from the sky because it was because they like they knew he was listening or something like that, or they like found him, so he like brought it down. Anyway, it's just crazy, like the stuff that he can do and the stuff that he talks about, and I don't know, like very Children of the Corn, if you will, esque, like just so calm, cool kid, like, which is always really scary because kids are supposed to be like crazy and wild. But yeah, basically they end up like driving across the country, or not, maybe not across the country, but just across a few states, and meet up with his mom, who left the religious compound. She was part of it, and then they call it the ranch, but she left it. So they meet up with her. And then they're basically trying to help this kid not get home because he was like born like normally and all that stuff. But they find out that he's a part of like another species almost that lives on the Earth, but in like another dimension or like
it's like a different plane.
Yeah, another plane,
dimensional plane.
Yeah,
but it is Earth.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So that's what they figure out. Well, then when this kid like is getting back to like the plane he or not back because he didn't come from it, but when he's getting to this plane that he belongs on, there's like this big, not explosion, but like this big aura that spreads out across like a few states and into the ocean and all this stuff. Because it happens in Louisiana.
And if this was the 80s, we would call it, if this was the 80s, we would call that AIDS, but this time it's not.
Yeah, now we call it herpes, so it's fine.
Yeah, HPV.
Yeah, HPV. But yeah, so there's this whole aura that spreads across like a few states and into the Gulf a little bit, because like it's happening like in Louisiana, and then like a bunch of people can see this other plane for like moments, and then it goes away once he like gets there. So anyway, that's like the overall summary.
I kind of want to sum that up a little more. It's the whole point of the movie is they're taking Alton, which is the child's name, from the ranch. They steal him. We enter in after they just like stole him almost from the ranch, I guess, because like Connor said, he's what they go off of for like the sermons and everything. These what he says they worship, I guess. And so the whole movie is about getting him to a certain place in time. And they're not sure why, but they're trying to get there, right? Yeah, they know it's got some sort of significance because he keeps spouting about it. And so they're trying to get him to a certain place in time. And so the whole movie is about his family trying to get him there, and people, the ranch trying to get him back, and the government trying to get him as well.
Very much an E.T. situation, if you will.
Is Alton E.T. here?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, the government's after him. They're just trying to get him home. You know, it's the same thing.
Yeah. I mentioned it before, but the movie kind of, it's sort of a slow burn, because in the certain sense of finding out more about the characters and stuff, like you really, they give information like little bits and pieces at a time throughout the movie, right? So you have to keep watching to keep finding out more, which is, it worked for this movie. Again, I think straight away I want to say I did overall like the movie. But in general, I don't think I usually like that kind of storytelling.
See,
does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you're saying, because I actually wrote that down too, where I love movies like this because it really keeps me engaged, but it has to be done well, obviously.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I agree with you that we're like, this movie, they did it very well so that it really kept me engaged. Because I think if it was like, not, I shouldn't say typical movie, but if it was more like a movie that was just like, here's the big setup, like we're giving you kind of like the whole, like, here's all the setup and here's the premise and here's like where it's headed, and then we'll hit that climax and then we'll hit the conclusion. I don't think this would have worked very well.
That's true. I think, yeah, it fit well, and it wasn't very typical of how they did it. Now, one thing, let's talk about the cast real quick. Please, the cast was awesome. They had that actor from Knives Out. Have you seen Knives Out?
I have. Yes.
Good movie. Another really good movie. Yeah, the main character, Roy, right? Is his name?
Yes. I think you're talking about Michael Shannon is his name.
Yeah. So he's a good actor. I like him a lot.
Yeah, Michael Shannon's great.
They had Adam Driver.
Yep.
Who I love. Now, do I love him as what's his face in Star Wars? We can get into that later. but no, I actually do really like Adam Driver.
I think Adam Driver's incredible.
He's a great actor. You've seen Logan Lucky, right?
Oh yeah, of course I have.
Love Logan Lucky. The one that surprised me, and I bet you know who I'm talking about, is when they met up with the mom, it took me a second, but I was like, is that Mary Jane?
Yeah, that was Kirsten Dunst. That's correct. Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, it's Mary Jane. And you know, it's weird. And I don't mean this insultingly, but so like Connor said, she's kind of from the ranch, and the ranch is very cult-ish, I guess you could say. I don't know. We don't know too much about the ranch, I guess, but it seems like maybe a cult, maybe just a religious sect,
like a radical living on a ranch. Group, yeah.
Right. And they kind of look like Mennonites too.
Yeah.
They all dress like
that. Don't cut their hair. Just like, yeah. Wear like old looking, like old timey clothes. Yeah,
very plain, long dress. They probably made themselves and stuff.
Yeah.
And my point is that the mom, Kristen Durst or whatever her name is, Mary Jane. Mary Jane, I'm going to call her. She looked very much like that kind of person, I guess. That plain religious cult person.
Well,
she looked really good as it. Like she played hot? It well. It was very religious. I don't even mean hot. I just mean like it's very believable. Like that she was that person.
Yeah, yeah. She's
very plain looking.
Okay. I was going to say the same thing, actually, because what I thought was really funny was, like, how you see these, like, her, who she left the ranch, like, years ago, or at least, like definitely there had been some time that passed mm-hmm. since she had left, but she still kind of kept that same look, which I thought was interesting, because it does kind of, like, bleed over a little bit.
Because they take all the people from the ranch and question them, the FBI does, and one of the people mentioned how, what happened to the father? Oh, he was there. But then, the leader of the cult adopted Alton. And mm-hmm. so they're like, okay, what happened to the mother? And they're like, oh, she abandoned him. So you kind of makes you think she left a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then, there's, someone that they go stay with on their journey who was from the ranch, who was no longer on the ranch as well. And, so they spend the night at his house, and the Michael Shannon character, or Michael Shannon, his character asks him, he's like, do you miss the ranch? And he goes, yep. Like, just, I mean, he like thought about it for a minute, but he was just like, yeah, I do. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like
that was an interesting thing as well that I wanted to bring up. I think his name was Eldon or something.
Yeah.
And apparently, yeah, that's kind of the whole thing about everybody loved the ranch. Like, I mean, again, people in it obviously loved it, but the people out that we learned that came from the ranch, they still loved it. Like Eldon, like the mom, like they still liked the ranch, uh-huh. Which was interesting that they kind of missed it so much.
Yeah.
Now what we kind of find out later is that one of Alton's, I guess, powers is he can, he beams lights from his eyes. And apparently if he like beams it to your head or something, he can make you sort of, hallucinate. What did I write here? He gives people visions, kind of, but the people describe it more as you have a feeling. And apparently, yeah, everybody he does this to, they say it's like the best feeling in the world. It's very comforting. And I think, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, I think he it's like he allows you to see what he sees. I think that might be what it is.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because like that's why people are like, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. It's because like you're seeing this other plane of existence,
maybe, yeah,
that you're not supposed to see.
Well, and again, the one chick who got interviewed, she said it's more of a feeling.
True.
It's not really a vision. But what was my whole point of this? I don't know. So my thing is like, okay, were they? Because it kind of made it sound like, and maybe you know, you've figured out a little more. Kind of made it sound like that. The people at the ranch were like, Alton was doing that a lot to like everybody on the ranch, right? Is that what it kind of?
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah. So I wonder, is it really the ranch they miss, or is it just like the thing from the mind rape from Alton? <I
guess>. And it could be because then what happens is like when they stay at the guy's house, the like whole house starts shaking, and they figure out what's going on really quickly, and they rush into the bedroom where Alton's sleeping, and this guy that they're staying with, Eldon, I think, or whatever you say his name is, he had basically he wanted that, he asked for the rape is what happened. He was asking for it because
I mean, you saw what he was wearing.
Exactly. But that's it. He went in there and he wanted that beam in his eyes, and so that's what was going on. And then they had to like, you know, they had to break it and had to grab Alton and had to like cover him up because he can't be in the sun for the first like most of the movie. And
That was interesting. I think you brought up a good point. So it seemed like people miss the ranch, and I just was wondering, do they miss the actual ranch, or do they miss getting mind raped by Alton, which
they miss that dopamine hit?
Another thing. Oh, so yeah,
also hold on, you're talking about great cast, but you didn't even bring up the friend or the guy that they're traveling with.
Oh yeah, Lucas.
Yeah, Lucas. Joel Edgerton is in the movie, and Joel Edgerton is so good, and I feel like sometimes kind of underrated.
He was probably one of the, I think one of the better actors. I mean, again, there is a great cast, but I think he had one of the better performances.
I would agree with you, and I just wanted to like point out too, like some movies that you might know him from. That maybe you're not recognizing the name is he's in Warrior opposite of Tom Hardy, plays the other brother. You know, there's the two brothers, the Ultimate Fighting movie or whatever, and he's one of the brothers. Him and Tom Hardy are brothers in the movie, and end up fighting each other in the end or whatever. And then also another kind of underrated movie that was pretty good was Bright with Will Smith. He plays his orc cop partner.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he was really good in that too. I highly recommend going and watching Bright. It's such a good movie, and it's actually really creative in the sense that, you know, it's a world where all these different like fantasy species live together, and orcs are like the minorities of this culture, and elves are like the majority or whatever. Like
so,
the high,
so I so I've seen a YouTube review of it actually.
Uh huh.
And from based off that, and correct me if I'm wrong, it kind of seems like it is. It the whole movie is kind of a movie, you know, about hierarchy and racial tension and stuff like that, right?
It is, yeah. But
they do that in a fantasy world.
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's amazing, and like the best part of that movie is that like all the orcs are, because I think they're. Maybe they're in the Bay Area. I'm not totally sure, but the best part is like all the orcs are wearing like Raiders gear and like barbecuing outside. Like it's fantastic. But yeah, I highly recommend.
They got really baggy shorts, white socks coming up to the knees,
Dickies, like all of that.
Like, what's up, fool?
What's up, homie?
What's up?
Yeah, no, I highly recommend.
Go Raiders, bro.
And those Doyers. I highly recommend going and watching Bright. That's a great one. But Joel Edgerton plays the like Will Smith's orc police partner in that movie, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing about his character Lucas is that you really don't find out a lot about him until sort of the last like two thirds of it. Because like I said, it kind of takes a while. You get bits and pieces throughout the plot of the characters' backstories. But his character is like one of the last you kind of find out the backstory, and it turns out he's a state trooper who was really good friends back in the day with is it Roy the character?
I can't remember. Yeah, Michael Shannon's character.
I think it's Ray or Roy or something. And they used to be really good friends, but then Ray or Roy's parents take him to the ranch, and they get separated, and then he hasn't seen him since then. And then apparently, like from like a few days, like a day or two before the movie even starts, Ray shows up at his doorstep with Alton, and I guess Alton does the mind rape with him, and becomes their servant, I guess. So he becomes very subservient to them. Like he's willing to go on this huge crazy mission, you know, against the government, against this ranch, just because he got mind raped once, which I thought that was interesting. So I guess as a testament to how powerful the maybe we should find something else to call it, but the mind rape.
I don't know. I'm kind of digging this. I'm starting to get behind it a little bit.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like, I guess that would be how a testament to how powerful that is, because otherwise it wouldn't be very believable, I think, you know?
Right.
Like I personally had to process that like in real time during the movie. I'm like, wait, he was there 3 days ago and now you're on this crazy adventure? I'm like, okay, well, how does that make sense? You know, I was like giving them the benefit of the doubt. Okay, well, I guess it must be that powerful, like that life-changing to have that done to you, you know?
Right. No, I did think that was interesting as well. Something else I wanted to bring up, speaking of, like, since we're on the topic of them leaving the ranch specifically, why is it that like crazy shit like this always goes down in like Oklahoma and Texas? Always like Texas, Oklahoma area. Like I don't get, and I think it's just because there's just so much like unused land out there because it's so freaking big.
You just buy a plot of land and live there.
Like just because they can get away with it. I don't know. But Because speaking of like religious cults and Michael Shannon for that matter, there's another series, I think it's a Netflix original, so I think it's still on there, but it's called Waco, and it covers the like what happened in Waco, Texas. Dude, that was so good.
Well, it was really good. And the FBI, what I thought was just interesting is the FBI agent, the main agent in the movie, he is the right-hand man to David Koresh in that Waco series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I was saying. Is like, yeah, it's Michael Shannon as well.
Wait, that's Michael Shannon? No. It's, is that Michael Shannon?
Are you talking about the negotiator?
Yes.
Because, what I was trying to get.
No. I was talking about the main FBI agent, though. I just wanted to bring that up. It's just a little. Oh. It wasn't like.
Yeah. Sorry. I do know what you're talking about now. I thought what you were referring to was the fact that Michael Shannon is in both of those, like in the series and in this movie. So, like, he's the dad, Ray, or whatever his name is, and mm-hmm. he's the negotiator in that Waco series.
That's true. And I honestly forgot about that until now. I was talking about the FBI. I made the same connection, but just with a different character.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. I totally forgot he was the negotiator. And he's really good in that show, too. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's a crazy story because the Waco show, because it's made, based off a couple of books from the survivors and sort of skewing, more leaning on the cults, side, right?
Yeah.
That movie is made more for the, I guess, victims of the fire, I guess, is how they portray it, which mm-hmm. is interesting because a lot of the mainstream media, I hate using that term. I don't know why. It's just cringy. But that's why a lot of people, especially the media, sort of reports it, they're a dangerous cult. They started the fire. It was a mass suicide. But Waco is interesting because they kind of present it in a different light.
Yeah, and I thought it was very well done, and especially mm-hmm. what I like is how you, like what you're saying is like, oh well, they started the fire because it was a mass suicide, when the FBI decided to knock down the door with tear gas, and then it caught on fire, and then they went through other protests that had happened where tear gas decided to get involved, like they decided to get tear gas involved in like dispersing, and fires happened.
Yeah, and well, let's talk about Waco for a second, actually. David, the guy who plays David Koresh in that movie, was scary good.
Oh, yeah.
He was scary good. It was crazy how, I don't know, he just played a very creepy, but also, again, I think he was painted in a decent light. He was creepy and ominous and stuff when he needed to be, but he was also very, caring and charismatic and just everything. He was very good at that role.
Yeah, no, he was incredible. Again, like, the acting in that series is really good. It kept me hooked. Like, I remember I was like, I was watching it at night, like trying to go to sleep, and I realized I'm like, I have got to watch something else because this is keeping me up. Like, it's so good. I just want to know what happens next.
Yeah, it was really good. So, but yeah, we're reviewing a different movie. Sure. One thing, let's see. Oh, one thing I noticed. One thing that bothered me actually was that during the most of the movie, there's between Alton and the dad and Lucas, there's not really a lot of communication going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which it's kind of typical, I guess, in that sense. Like, you see that a lot. But then what I didn't like, well, I don't know how to frame this. What happened was when the mom gets in the picture, she finally starts asking why to Alton all the time. Because before the dad, it's like Alton, like you said, he kind of crashes a satellite,
right,
with one of his powers, and all, they just run away, like, hey, you can't do that, and then they're on to the next one, right? The dad just like, hey, you can't do that, oh, I'm sorry, and it's like, oh, that's okay, and then they move on, right? With the mom is like, hey, she starts asking why, and I'm like, yes, finally somebody's it's like why don't you ask the kid why are you saying this? Because the kid's, it's very typical, and he's like, he doesn't say a lot. He says like almost cryptic things. Not really cryptic, but like he doesn't really explain a lot. He says very generic things, and then again, the mom is the only one that's asking why, and I was a little bothered by it. I was like, why isn't anybody asking why? Because the mom doesn't come in the picture till like halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is the first time we actually care what the kid is actually saying. I don't know.
Yeah, it was true. I don't know. That's a good point. I didn't really think about that. But I think something we should point out, too, that we kind of forgot in our, like, little summary is why they even, like, escaped from the ranch. And it's because the kid gave, like, these city names and coordinates. And everyone thought that, like, he was predicting, like, attacks or different things like that.
Like, end of the world or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the end of the world, like, something. Well, the dad figured out a pattern in what he was saying and realized the message he was trying to get across. And that's why they escaped, because the dad realized he's trying to get to this specific location, but he's saying it, like, cryptically. Well, mm-hmm. that's also why Adam Driver's character, he also figures out what the secret message is.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting, but I wonder if that's kind of why the dad, I don't know. I mean, when you have someone who is okay being part of a religious cult, technically, I don't think they're used to asking why very often. They just do. So I think that the dad was just kind of like, oh, okay, so this is what he needs. I'll just do it no matter the circumstance. I know this is what is supposed to happen. And so I think that's probably why it was the case. But also, I agree with you. It's very frustrating as a viewer of, like, you're not even, you don't even know why this kid is doing this.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to think of an example. I think it was, he couldn't, I don't remember. But like I said, she just asked why. And it was, I didn't even notice it until she got to, like, I was fine with the movie. I mean, the movie, but I was fine with that dynamic until the mom came in and started asking why. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. They probably should have been doing this the whole time.
Yeah.
But another thing that I didn't really let's talk about sort of the ending, the third act.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm a little confused. It didn't, like, I feel like I have more questions than answers.
Same.
At one point, I wrote this down. At 105 minutes after Alton explains. Okay, let me preface this a little bit. So Alton, because of his powers, if he's in sunlight, he gets hurt. And then at one point in the movie, he tells his dad, "Hey, I need to be in the sunlight." And this happens again. The dad doesn't ask why. He just tells him no, because he's gonna get hurt. He doesn't, like, why do you think you should be in the sunlight? And no, he's just like, no. And then the kid's just like, no, you got to trust me. Like, I need to do this because this kid is getting sicker and sicker and stuff like that. So then they decide, okay, the next day, fine. Like, we'll put you in the sunlight, see what happens, I guess, because we'll trust this kid. We don't know why, but we will. And so they get into the sunlight, and you find out later that they are revealed, both of them are revealed, sort of this world that we're talking about, this overlaying world, this other dimension. And so they see it with their eyes for the first time in the sunlight. The kids gets better, I guess. You know, the message is, hey, vitamin D is pretty good. So after he goes back to Lucas and the mom in the hotel, and after he explains what just happened, what Mary Jane goes, or the mom goes, I understand. And I audibly said, I don't. Because it's not really explained well at the time what's going on, I feel like. Did you feel that?
Yeah.
At that point in the movie, did you know what they saw? They didn't really explain it.
I didn't understand either. It was just like, it was basically like there was just all this, like, I don't know, almost like celestial city overlaid on top of the earth, but like no one else can see it except for that brief period of time. Like, they even had it where it was like.
But I feel like I didn't understand that until like the very end.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't know. I mean, even at the very end, I was still like, I mean, but what does the city do? It just brought up more questions.
Yeah. And I was still confused at the end. I'm just saying, like, I didn't even get. Like Alden really explained it kind of cryptically. He was like, there's a city on top of us, and I think I'm part of them because I do what they do, right? His eyes glow up and their eyes are glowing.
Yeah.
And that's really the most of the explanation. And then his mom, Mary Jane, She goes, I understand. And I'm like, I don't. Can somebody explain this to me?
Okay. So that part specifically, I think maybe that he was just saying, like, I don't belong here. And she was like, I understand. Meaning like, yeah, you're right. You're a freaking freak. So you don't belong here. but the fact that he was like, this is where I'm supposed to go. She was like, oh, that makes sense. Like, you literally don't belong here. Like, you need to go be with people that understand you.
Also, going on the theme I keep bringing up, and maybe... They didn't ask why, though. Like, they didn't ask why he belonged there. They didn't ask more questions. I wanted more questions at that point. Like, I feel like they didn't explain it very well, and I'm kind of confused. And then at the very end, I get a little of answers, but then, like you said, I get even more questions. Like, what the hell is the city doing? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Overall, I agree. It was a good movie. I was worth the watch. But I'm still a little confused. I don't know if I'd watch it again for like a while, but
yeah,
I don't know if I'll ever like be in the mood to watch it again. I don't know if it's one of those, but it was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I would probably give it a 6 or 7 out of 10. It was good. It's a good movie. It's not the best. But it's pretty good. Now a couple more things though, real quick. I want to mention one thing again. I'm nitpicking here, but at one point in the movie, the guys from the ranch that are supposed to come after them, they surprise attack them at this hotel, and they zip tie them all up, and they shoot at them, zip tie them all up, and steal Alton back, right? Because they're trying to take him back. At this point, the action was actually pretty cool, like, because I wasn't expecting it either. It was kind of out of nowhere.
Right.
But the action was pretty cool. But then I wrote down here, wow, that's the quickest zip tie in the West, because they were fumbling around like wrestling with some people, and then all of a sudden they were zip tied to a post, you know? They were wrestling with the mom, and then all of a sudden she's zip tied to I don't know, it wasn't very believable. Again, I'm nitpicking there. It didn't look great.
Yeah, and if we're gonna nitpick too, I just wanted to bring up too, I felt like some of the shots were like really dark, and I mean, maybe that was like part of the aesthetic because they were traveling at night so much, because for a while he couldn't be in the sun. But like, I mean, I was watching this at night again, so that didn't help either. So my phone brightness is like all the way down, so I like had to turn it up a little bit so I could see some stuff. But yeah, some of it I was just like, man, these shots are so dark, I can hardly see anything.
Well, that's interesting, because I watched it on my TV and I didn't really think it was like so dark.
Yeah, so maybe it just happened to be because I was like on the phone and on the phone and brightness all the way down. So
yeah, maybe one more thing, unless you have another thing. But
nope, go ahead.
At the very end, Roy, the father of Alton. Okay, so the conclusion of the story is they get Alton to the location he needs to be. He does his power. Again, Connor said, you know, the orb comes out like this little like dome almost, and in this big area, everybody inside the dome can see the other layer, the other dimension, the city. Alton is taken. It's kind of weird how they depicted the people. I didn't really. I mean, it's a sci-fi. Like,
yeah, it was weird.
You had to make a decision. I didn't really like it, but it's just like how they depicted the people in the other dimension is there's two glowing things for eyes, where eyes usually are, and then like one glowing thing like on the stomach, I guess.
Or like the chest or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was basically like they basically like took the traits about Alton that were like odd, where his eyes would light up and his hands would light up and his chest could light up or whatever. They took all of that and they just like... they just took those things and didn't put any kind of bodies around them. It was like, what? Yeah.
So, okay, sure. So that all appears, and then the light up eye people, they take Alton, you know, into the world. The orb goes away, the dome goes away, and they can't see it anymore. And then the people, because the army knows about this location, they kind of skirt around them to get there. But the army arrests Lucas and Roy, right? So in the prison, this is one of the final shots, I believe. Roy is getting his outside time, which is just him in a outdoor hallway, but like a cage kind of. And he's just looking out in the sky. And, you know, you're supposed to be thinking, oh, he's thinking about Alton stuff and he's all sad and stuff. But at the end there, and I didn't rewind this because I didn't want to. I just wanted to ask you, did you see Did Roy's eyes glimmer? Did they kind of light up a little bit?
I didn't see that, but maybe.
So I'm wondering, because this is kind of the other question, a big question I had, is if, how did Alton get his power? Because it was implied that he was birthed from the human mom, right?
Yeah,
it was implied that he came from human parents. So I don't understand how he got this power. And so at the end, when Roy's eyes glimmer, I'm like, oh, are they suggesting Roy also has some sort of power? But then why didn't he know more about it? But then again, if he did have the power, maybe that's why he's not asking questions. But then why didn't he explain it more? I don't know. It just brought up a lot of questions for me, because I didn't really understand how the kid has this spirit in him or this other dimension. He's not really human, but he came from human parents. That wasn't really explained.
Yeah. I agree. It definitely was a movie that didn't have a lot of closure, if you will.
Yeah.
It left a lot of things open, but at the same time, again, overall, decent movie. Recommend to watch, but definitely recommend to watch at least once.
Yeah. Yeah. I would probably show it to, you know, my girlfriend, just to be like, hey, this is not a bad movie if we want something to watch.
I was actually just thinking the same thing, as like, if Michelle was like, oh, what should we watch? I'd be like, well, I don't know. I just watched this movie. It was decent, if you want to.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's not bad. But yeah, I mean, if you guys watch it, let us know what you think about it. Yeah, I guess overall the cast was good. It was pretty good. Some of the parts I really like. Like, I liked the action scenes, which kind of were few and far between, I actually really liked.
Yeah. Yeah, they were good.
Yeah. But kind of an interesting sci-fi drama thriller sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I would say when you were saying like good cast or whatever, I think the cast was honestly like the best part of the movie, in my opinion. Like, I mean, the plot was pretty decent, but like, I just think like the way they were able to execute it because of the cast they had, that was what made it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty true. So yeah, that's our little review of Midnight Special. Let us know, guys, if you kind of like this sort of review style, if you want us to do more of them. I kind of liked it. I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
But let's move right along to my favorite topic of today, I think, is the Taika Waititi. Did I say that right, Connor?
Close enough. No,
okay.
I'm just kidding. That's right. It's Taika Waititi.
We're gonna do a suck off party. What that is I just wanted to bring up, dude, some of his work, some of his directing, acting work and stuff, and just like kind of go over it. Like, I don't know, man, he's really talented.
He's so good.
Like, okay, so just let's go down the list, Connor. I want to see if you've seen these. Have you seen have you seen Flight of the Conchords?
Yes.
Okay, so you know what that is. That one's a pretty good one. I love it.
That one's a little old, I guess, if you will, because that was like
it was 2007.
Because I was gonna say, well, I mean, it came out like middle school for me, but I didn't hear about it or see it until like early high school years. So but it was good, like, for the time. I don't know if I would say I still enjoy that type of comedy or that humor, but yeah, at the time it was really good.
I actually really like it, and I just finished rewatching this first season. I like it a lot. It's interesting. Do you know the backstory of the first season? So they, Flight of the Conchords is actually their band. It's Jermaine Clement and the other guy, Brett, I think, McKenzie, I think his name is. It's actually their band. They do have a band, and they made an album, right? And then Taika and Jermaine and Brett, they took that first album and they made it into a story.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's the first season. But the second season, they didn't have an album, so it was like the reverse. They made the story and the album at like the same time.
Oh, so it's kind of like Game of Thrones, where like the books hadn't caught up yet, but they still had to put out another season, so it wasn't as good. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But let me. So yeah, the whole thing of that is two New Zealand band members. They're kind of a novelty band. They make kind of like fun, weird music. They're just in New York trying to make it, pretty much. but it's pretty funny. It's got some good actors in that as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is pretty old. Did you ever watch What We Do in the Shadows, the movie?
I have not gotten to the movie. I've been trying to find it somewhere without having to buy it, but I want to see it so bad.
I might just have to buy it for you for Christmas because he plays a role in it and he directs it, what TT does. And that is one of my favorite like comedies, honestly. It's so good. What it is a mockumentary following three vampires in New Zealand. You know, what they do about their day. Dude, it's so funny. Go ahead.
I was just saying, if you haven't checked out the FX show, where you can find that on Hulu right now, it's very good. And Taika, I believe, is a producer, like an executive producer on the show.
He's directed a few of the episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. So like he's involved with the show. So it's not like just they took the premise. Like he's actually a part of it. And like, it's a pretty good show, too.
Like at one point in the movie, multiple points, the vampires have a rivalry with the werewolves.
Yeah.
And they kind of have like a gang standoff where they like meet in the streets, right? And then they're like the werewolves are barking at them, the vampires are yelling at them, and they kind of get in a little scuffle, a little verbal disagreement, and then the werewolves, one of them curses at the vampires, and then the leader of the werewolves like goes around, he's like, hey, what are we? We're werewolves, not swearwolves. It's so silly, like the whole movie.
So dumb.
It's so dumb. That's amazing. Werewolves, not swearwolves. But actually, the leader of the werewolves, I forget his name, but he's also in Flight of the Conchords. He's in a lot of TD's movies. He's a good New Zealand actor.
Nice.
Let's see. Jojo Rabbit.
You've seen that, right? I've seen that multiple times.
That's a great one.
I like that one because it's hilarious like throughout the entire thing, but also, man, does it hit you right in the feels in like quite a few moments. Like it's just a well done movie.
Yeah, for people who don't know, it's a little boy in Nazi Germany, and he has an imaginary friend who is Adolf Hitler.
Yes. Yep. Adolf Hitler is his best friend because as a Hitler youth, there's nothing more you want than for Hitler to be your absolute best friend and for you to be his number one guy.
Yes, and Watiti plays Adolf, his imaginary friend, and he does a great job, actually, at it.
So good. And he directed the entire movie, too, and wrote it. Correct. He, like, wrote, directed, and played Adolf.
Yeah. Another one, Hunt for the Wilder People. So you said, I believe you said you haven't seen this one?
I haven't, because when I was looking for a list, because I looked up a list of movies to watch where I was trying to find ones where I thought maybe we hadn't seen them. And when I saw that Hunt for the Wilder, because I've seen it on Netflix, but I just haven't ever like looked into it. And when I saw that it was a Taika special, I was like, oh, are you kidding me? How come I haven't seen this yet? So I was like, please tell me you haven't seen this. And you're like, oh, I've already seen it. I was like, dang it.
Well, dude, you need to watch it like tonight. Honestly, it's a really good movie just all around. The premise of the movie is this kid, juvenile delinquent. He gets taken by a child welfare to these people's house with the foster mother. I believe her name is like Bella. And then her husband is Heck. But the husband is like this, I'm reading Wikipedia, and they call him a cantankerous, which is apt, a cantankerous man who the house is just like in the middle of nowhere, kind of in the woods. And Bella, the kid, Ricky, he actually like, you know, starts really liking Bella eventually. But Heck is just like this, you know, he doesn't leave me alone kind of do like, let me just go do my thing. At one point, Bella actually, spoiler alert, it's not a huge spoiler, it's just a plot point, is Bella actually dies. And so at this point, Ricky doesn't want to go back to child services, so he pretty much tries to fake a suicide by burning down the house, but it's really bad. It's like an obviously fake suicide. And he runs into the woods, into the bush is what they call it.
Yeah.
And then Heck like follows him in there, try to get him back. And then while they're on the way out, he actually like breaks his ankle, I believe, or hurts his ankle. And so at this point, what they have to do is, they have to like camp out for a few days. Right. But by the time they get back to the house, the authorities see the burned building and the abandoned house, and they think that Heck has kidnapped Ricky. So now they're on a trying to outmaneuver the authorities. They're like running away because Ricky doesn't want to go back, you know. Uh-huh. And so they're trying to. It's this kind of this weird like this weird like odd couple trying to outmaneuver the authorities in the New Zealand bush. And that was kind of a long-winded story. Again, I'm leaving a lot out, but the whole like it's a really good movie. It's comedic in places that you were not expecting it to be, but it's also like it's a cool story. It's a cool story.
Okay, I'm definitely gonna check it out. I probably will end up watching it tonight. But I mean, yeah. Just in so I do want to move on to some of these other just like industry news, I guess you could say, like movie industry news. But just as a kind of another testament to Taika's amazingness is the comic relief or the comedic relief that came through in the third Thor movie that really wasn't present in the first two. Like Thor was like not my favorite when it came to like MCU movies. And then the third one came out and you had like just a lot more comedy. You had Korg, who was amazing. The Rock guy brought a lot of comedy to it. And just so good. Well, you know, come to find out that Taika Waititi helped write it and direct it, so that makes sense, and plays the voice of Korg, so that makes sense. And what was great is that, you know, after Endgame and everything, most people are kind of like moving on from those roles, but Chris Hemsworth said, I 100% would come back if they bring back Taika for another Thor. They bring back Taika, Chris Hemsworth is all in. So I just think that that's kind of a testament to like his amazing or his greatness is that, you know, you have this actor who's been playing this character for so long that most people in his shoes, like his co-stars, were like, yeah, we're done playing this character. He went, look, if you bring back Taika, I'll play Thor again for sure. So yeah. And
he's great. So I was just gonna say that pretty much I mean, there's more stuff. Something I read actually before we were prepping for this is he actually is gonna have an acting role in the new Suicide Squad. What TT is.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
But yeah, I guess that concludes our suck off party for now. Go check out his work, everybody. That's pretty much the point of this. We just wanted to highlight some of it, especially like movies sort of like the Hunt for the Wilder People or like What We Do in the Shadows. I feel like a lot of people don't even know about it. So I just wanted to bring some light to that.
Yeah. No, and I think like he is someone who is very deserving of some spotlight. Like as soon as I figured out kind of who he was and started like following his work a little bit, you can't stop. It's amazing. So, awesome. But yeah, so talking about Thor, I was just going to kind of quickly go through some of these like updates. It's not really anything we need to like discuss really, but I just want to get your thoughts on some of these. It is confirmed that Chris Pratt will also be in Thor 4, more Thor.
I love it. Yeah, I just love it. I can't wait to see what they're gonna do with that, with his character and everything. But like you said, with Chris Hemsworth coming back too, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I think, you know, obviously that we left off last in the Marvel Universe with Thor kind of going off with the Guardians. So I'm interested how they're gonna kind of figure that out. I'm hoping we get a little bit of a Rocky montage in there to get Thor back into shape. But also, Fat Thor is great. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, can't decide which one I like better.
Exactly.
Because the fat Thor is a lot more relatable to me, too. You know,
so. Yeah, exactly. I know when that movie came out, I was actually pretty into Fortnite at the time. So when they're like playing Fortnite and just like hanging out and not doing anything, I was like, yeah, I can relate to this. So then this came out, which I was actually really surprised. But apparently there's a live action Tom and Jerry movie. Thoughts?
Is it going to be like the Lion King, like that kind of CGI live action? Do you know?
No. So here's the deal is it is a live action where like they have like the cartoon characters of Tom and Jerry, but they're just in like the real world, like in a live action world. And so to me, what it reminds me of is like Space Jam, but without the clout of Michael Jordan being a part of it.
Or like that Looney Tunes show from like, or the movie from like 2000s. What was that one? Do you remember that?
Space Jam?
No.
I know what you're talking about, with like Brendan Fraser or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of, except for from what I saw at the trailer, there's no like actual people. It's just Tom and Jerry in the real world.
That's so weird. I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah, I thought so too.
And especially the fact that they're like dubbing it a live action movie. I'm like, it's not really live action though.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's very weird. Anyway, but okay, so moving on. Channing Tatum is supposedly teaming up with, I don't remember the names of the people, but it's basically like the guys from the Jump Street movies. He's like teaming up with them, I guess, to star in a new mystery monster movie. So I thought that was interesting just because I love the Jump Street movies. I think they're fantastic and well written for the most part. I thought the second one was they relied a little too heavily on like making fun of it being like the exact same movie just in college. Yeah. But for the most part, I love the humor and I love Channing Tatum's character in those though. So I'm interested to see what they do with a mystery monster movie where I'm sure there's going to be a lot of like comedy in there as well.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like a comedic, mystery monster movie. Sounds pretty fun.
Yeah. So, the next one though, that I'm very excited about too, cause I just started rewatching these movies. Deadpool 3 is confirmed in the works, with Ryan Reynolds and the, I think it's Mulaneau sisters is how it's pronounced. I'm not totally sure on that. Freaking French names. I don't know, but, I'm pretty sure it's the Mulaneau sisters who are in on it to also add to writing the script. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. I thought they did really well with the second one, you know, as far as sequels, you know, always don't do well. So I just hope they can keep their momentum and keep making another really good movie.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see if the whole persona, because I feel like it's really easy for that persona and that sort of style of writing, like, you know, a lot of fourth wall breaks, a lot of self-awareness. I feel like it's really easy for them to get trapped and like seem like, ugh, this again, you know?
Right.
So it's gonna be interesting to see how they manage that.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for it just because I don't know, like, after rewatching the first one, I was like, you're right, because it can get old with the whole, yeah, like, fourth wall break, self-awareness. But at the same time, like, because of the way Ryan Reynolds plays it and the way it's written, it's just, it's so well done that I'm like, I don't know if I'd ever get tired of this in a way.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. As long as they can keep their momentum, because that's kind of my point, is, like, the second movie did that pretty well,
I thought. Yeah, you're
and
okay.
So they managed it well. So, yeah, as long as they keep that momentum.
Yep, I agree. And for those of you who don't know who the Mulaneau sisters are, I know at least one of them. I didn't see, because I didn't like do too much research. I was just like, who are these? You know, who are the Mulaneau sisters that they're raving about? And I know at least one of them. Probably both of them are writers for Bob's Burgers, which is also a great show.
Love that show.
So I'm pretty excited about it. Let's see.
Some of the weird Bob Burgers humor to Deadpool. That'd be interesting.
Dude, I freaking love. I would love it. I mean, the cast on Bob's Burgers kind of also makes that, but it's fantastic. It's such a great show. And then let's see. Moving on to the next one. So this is just kind of cool news. Kind of like a trying to bypass COVID situation where Wonder Woman 84. Is confirmed. It's coming to HBO Max. It's available for streaming on Christmas Day. I don't know if it's going to be like a Disney situation where if you already have a subscription, then you have to like pay for the movie, or if it's just if you have an HBO Max subscription that you are able to stream the movie. Not sure, but I know that it definitely encouraged Michelle and I to get an HBO Max account, so we're probably going to get one soon.
Well, I was going to bring that Disney up too, because like with Mulan, we had Disney Plus at the time. We don't have it anymore. But with Mulan, you still had to pay $30 to stream it, even if you had it. I was like, what the hell is this?
Well, so, I mean, I kind of get it. And really, when you think about it, you can take advantage of that. Because like, so when
I thought $30 was a little much, though.
Okay, but think about it this way. If you're going to the movies with like just yourself and Caitlin, you're gonna pay about $30 anyway, right? depending on what, right. like when you go see it. If you go, if you don't, like, let's say it's not a matinee showing, you're paying about like $11 to $13, depending on where you live, to go just for tickets. So that's close to $30. Then you're probably paying for refreshments and all that jazz, right? Well, if you're basically doing that for just two people. But if you get a group of people together and split the cost, like, you just saw a brand new movie, especially in a world of COVID where new movies aren't coming out at the time. Like, you just saw a brand new movie for, if you get even four people together, for like $8 a pop. Less than $8 a pop, actually. It's like, oh my gosh, I can't do math. It's like $7.50.
Right. But I mean, that brings up my whole problem with how much movie theaters charge in general. Like, it shouldn't be that much. Sure. Plus, I feel like, in a movie theater, I'm getting all these amenities, right? But at my home, I don't get those amenities. So why should I pay?
You got all these amenities? You mean amenities like popcorn and soda? That's another $30?
No. I mean a huge, giant ass screen and great sound and
okay.
Hopefully good seats.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
I get that experience where, you know, at home I don't necessarily get that. I just thought 30 was a little too much. I get paying for it. I'd get that with the new movie. I don't love it, but I get it.
okay, fair. I can go with that.
So, you know, if Wonder Woman is less than $30, good on them. If it's with the streaming service, I think they're going to do really well with that.
Oh, yeah, probably. I bet, also, honestly, by announcing that, I mean, I just said, you know, we're probably going to sign up for a subscription. And Michelle had already been talking about it because HBO Max has so many, like, good movies on there that aren't on other streaming platforms. So she's already talked about getting a subscription, and now this, she was like, oh, we should probably just get one. I bet they're going to increase their subscription rate if it is just like you just had to have a subscription.
Yeah, for sure. And I was going to mention, you guys definitely need HBO Max. It has like everything now, honestly. Like, I was thinking about this actually today, because me and my siblings, we share a lot of the subscription services. And so we've been talking a lot about it lately. You know, oh, should we cancel this? Should we not? I was thinking about it. I probably watch the most HBO Max, then second Hulu, and then third is probably Netflix. And that's just my personal thing. But it's like,
really?
HBO Max has a lot, and they bought so many. They combine so much more TV. Like, they have Friends on there.
Right.
They have Rick and Morty. They actually paid $500 million to have the exclusive rights to South Park on there.
Oh, that's cool.
They have so, and they already, and then that's on top of their already HBO experience, which I think HBO honestly makes some of the best content.
Right.
So I love it, and I think everybody should get HBO Max. I'm a huge proponent for it. Pay me, HBO.
Sponsor us, please. That's actually, I've heard that it's a great streaming platform. And, oh man, I totally lost my train of thought. Oh, I was going to say, it's interesting that you brought up that Hulu is actually your second, because I go in and out of phases, honestly, where, like, I'll be watching a lot of Hulu, and then it'll be like, oh, there's nothing on here, because either I'm, like, more in, like, a movie kind of mood, or I'm more in, like, a TV kind of mood. And then I'll like switch to Netflix, and suddenly something on Netflix will kind of capture my attention. I'll kind of go through like a Netflix binge where I'm just like sifting through all of Netflix's stuff, and then it'll like turn back to Hulu. So I kind of go in and out with that, but yeah, I think we are probably going to get an HBO Max subscription here pretty soon.
Good. Like I said, I think everybody should.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. So I love it. Did you ever watch Whose Line Is It Anyways?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They have like the full series on it.
Really?
Yeah, me and Caitlin have been rewatching it because we love it.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. So speaking of HBO Max, they are apparently doing like a Fresh Prince reunion, or maybe like a reboot or something on there. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I feel like I might have said it on here again. I know if you know me in my personal life, I've definitely said it in my personal life all the time. Is that, can we just stop reboots? Can we let things die when they should die? Like, they usually aren't good. Usually, there are exceptions. Right. They're usually just a cash grab. They usually are horrible, outdated. Like Fuller House. Did you watch Fuller House?
Oh my god, I watched half an episode of Fuller House and went, "This is garbage."
And it kind of ruins the nostalgia a little bit, right?
It completely does.
It kind of takes you out of it. So it's like, I'm talking about reboots of TV, reboots of, you know, everything. Like, we were actually meaning to, a couple weeks ago, talk about, like, the Ghostbuster movies and Ocean's 8 and stuff. And, like, those ones were not very good. And just, it usually doesn't work out to reboot a series. Sometimes it does. Like, I mean, it's made more for this, but the comic books, I mean, they redo and reboot movies all the time. Again, they're more made to do that because they have more comics behind that. But, you know, that's one exception. But in general, I'm not looking forward to it. I don't think it'll be good, but prove me wrong, I guess.
Yeah, here's the other thing is I don't know if it's an actual reboot or if it's just a reunion. Like they're just doing like a little series on the Fresh Prince and bringing back the original cast to like talk about stuff.
Yeah.
Because I saw like in a trailer where were getting the whole cast together, including the later version Aunt Vivian, and then they drop the fact that the original Aunt Vivian is also coming back or whatever. And so I was like, is this just like a reunion where they're just kind of like talking about things? I don't know.
No, it's funny. I actually don't like Friends, the show.
I know
it's controversial. You either love it or you hate it. I hate it, but I saw a tweet going around that said like, due to COVID, the Friends reunion or something is being canceled. And then one of the comments were like, good, the one good thing out of COVID. And I was like, yes, I agree with that.
You monster.
But yeah, like I said, all my points, I don't know. If it's a reunion, fine. Like one time thing, I get that. It's kind of nostalgic. But if it's an actual reboot, please stop. Hollywood, please stop.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally agree.
Begging you.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty much it for industry news. I mean, there's some other things that are going around right now, but nothing really for sure. But here's one thing is I think we need to get into a couple of the shows that we still don't understand. We don't get them. I think we need to talk about them. So do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Okay. I don't understand The Masked Singer. I'll just say it. I don't get it or why people really find it entertaining, and here's why. Because from what I do know, that now I've never really watched the show. I've watched a couple I've watched a couple clips from it, I will say that, but I've never actually sat down and watched the show, and I've never even looked up the show. Like, I've never looked up what the premise is. Mm-hmm. But from what I can tell, it's just a panel of famous people. The greatest thing about that show is that Ken Jeong's on it. But it's a panel of famous people who are trying to guess the other famous person that's underneath the mask. And it's like, it's supposed to be like kind of like a competition. So they try to try to figure out whoever like loses or something. I don't even know. But all it looks like to me is just like famous people sucking each other's dicks. It doesn't make sense. Why is it entertaining? Like, the reason American Idol or America's Got Talent or any of these other like competition shows did well was because it was average Joes who were living out their dream. This is just a famous person in a costume.
Yeah, and it's weird because don't they have people that aren't necessarily like great singers on there? Like, didn't Lonzo Ball... wasn't he on it?
I think so. Like, I don't even remember. And like, the funny thing to me was everyone was surprised that T-Pain could actually sing. Yes, T-Pain can actually sing. He's incredibly auto-tuned like in his songs, but he does that for an effect. But you have to be good at singing to make auto-tune sound good. Like, I don't understand how people don't understand that. But everyone was like so shocked that T-Pain was on there and was actually like a good singer.
Yeah. Well, and it's weird because, again, I haven't seen it, but isn't the singing like really muffled and stuff, and like it kind of sounds weird because they're in their costume.
Yeah, it's not great.
And then they take off the costume and they're like, wait, what? It's a singer? Wait, it's another I don't understand. Well,
and like, because the only reason I even like started figuring out like what the show was because I saw, and this was back when I watched him a lot more, but Ninja was on there, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool that he was like a network show, like as a streamer, like that's interesting. And then I saw like his episode when they like reveal him or whatever. So what they do is they have a video that kind of like drops hints as to who they are, and then the panel of judges has to like figure it out from those hints. And I just don't understand what the like end result is. It doesn't make any sense. Like, at least what? In these other shows, it was like, oh, you win money, you win a prize, yeah, you win a record deal.
They just win a, they win a surprise.
Yeah, like that. Like, it's not, I don't understand who it's fun for.
Yeah.
That's and what also, I don't get.
I mean, they're taking COVID precautions, which is good, but don't they not have a live audience, but they feed in fake noises?
Oh, I have no idea. Fake reactions and stuff? I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure that that's what they're doing.
I mean, maybe they did have a live audience, and they now with COVID they're doing this, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying it's weird. I'm pretty sure they feeding in fake audience or previously recorded audience. But it's still.
And Antonio Brown was on there. Like,
really? What? Like, yeah. Recent?
No, I think it was like a year or two ago.
Was he still playing football at the time?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so not that recent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much to add. I just agree with everything you said. It's stupid. Why do they do it? But then again, why does NBC greenlight any show, really? Or ABC or all of them, dude? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I just had to go on a little bit of rant about that because I always see clips, and the clips are always like Ken Jeong freaking out going, that's who it is, and I'm like, look, Ken Jeong, I love you, but like, you're the only good part about the show because I know what you can do outside of the show. Every other aspect of the show is hot garbage.
Yeah, it sucks. Well, let me rant a little bit,
please,
Connor.
Please give it to me.
I don't understand how WWE is a thing. Now, let me preface this by saying, I get the entertainment value of it. But I know most people that I know that like it, they talk about it. They treat it like a real sport. You know, they're talking about, oh, who's going to win the next match? Oh, well, I think this storyline is going to happen. No, I think this story, oh, I think this person will flip into a heel. What are you talking about? It's like, I don't understand how they can just sit there and talk about a thing that's already predetermined, already the outcome is already set.
So true.
I guess if you try to think about, like, if I put myself in their shoes, if you try to think about it more as like a TV show, you know, like a scripted TV show, which it pretty much is. I guess that makes more sense, but the whole shtick is like, I guess it's live performance. Like, I don't know. I really don't understand.
I mean, let me try to like break this down a little bit and like help you understand just a tiny bit. So it's basically like when you go to like Universal Studios or one of those like things, and there's like a live like stunt show. That's basically what it is. It's a live stunt show.
Yeah, and it's cool. I'll watch it if I'm flipping through the channels. It's on. I'll keep it on for a few minutes to watch the stunts, right? They're pretty entertaining sometimes. But then once they talk about, oh, this person, why'd you kiss that person, and why, and I'm actually having your baby, it's just a soap opera at this point.
And yeah,
like, I just
much.
Can't get behind that. I don't understand how people like it. And then to take it a step further, I know there are some people who think it's real, and to those people, we should just all get together. We should get them all together in one big WWE fanatic. Like, oh, it's the biggest WWE event ever. And, you know, get them all in a stadium and just lock the doors and just walk away.
just lock the doors.
Just lock the doors, bro. We don't really need those people who think it's actually real.
No, I completely agree. And, you know, I will say this, a couple things. One, I was actually very into wrestling when I was like 13, but it was like that year specifically for whatever reason, like from like 13 until I hit 14, I watched wrestling like religiously, and it was very entertaining. But I also, it got very quickly where I was like, this is kind of boring because it's the same drama or the same storylines or whatever.
Yeah.
But a fantastic movie actually is called It's Fighting With My Family. And it's actually the story of the WWE diva named Paige and her story. Yeah. And it's actually really, really good and really, really entertaining. But something they say in there that I will agree with is someone calls it fake, and her family gets like kind of offended, and they're like, it's not fake, it's fixed. And I was like, okay, all right, I can buy that. Like, it's not like a green screen. It's not like, you know, don't have harnesses. Yeah. Like, it's not like that. Like, all the stunts are real. But yes, you're right. It is predetermined. It's totally rigged. It's totally fixed entirely.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, I can kind of see, I guess if it's fixed, it's all right. But I don't know. I don't like it. I refuse to like it.
I agree. I'm completely over it, but yeah.
I equate it to a weird soap opera, and I don't like those. So, but yeah, let's. We have a master debater topic that we wanted to get into. Shout out to Luis, my friend Luis. He actually just posed the question while we were texting, and I was like, you're gonna have to wait for this answer until you listen to the podcast, because I thought it was really good. So last week we ranted about Christmas music and people doing it too early and stuff. And Luis knows me, and he knows that I hate country music. And obviously from last week, I hate Christmas music too. So he asked me if I had to pick one of those, country music or Christmas music, to listen to for the rest of my life, which one would I pick and why? And Connor, you don't like country music either, so you can answer this as well. But for me, I think the answer might surprise people. I hate both. Okay. Let's get that out there. Country music is terrible. I don't understand it. It's dumb. Christmas music, obviously you heard last week, I don't really like that either. But I think I would pick country music because it's got more variety. I could listen to more stuff, different versions of country music and stuff. If I stuck with Christmas music every time, I would have to listen to the same five songs for eternity, and that sounds way worse.
That's way worser.
Way worser.
Yeah, so I'm agreeing with you on this one. I had the exact same thought where, I mean, at least country music, they put out new stuff constantly, where Christmas music, you have to wait for like the one pop star to put out a new album maybe. And then again, it's the same songs, just a different person singing them. So yeah, I completely agree. You posted this though, and immediately my first answer was kill myself instead, because it sounds awful to have only one of those to listen to for the rest of my life either way. But so, I mean, problem solved right there.
You know what's interesting? I think if I was forced to listen to country music, I would go through first depression, obviously. And then
anger, then bargaining, okay.
But there's one, there's a point where I think, you know, I'm 3 years in, I listen to it every day or whenever I want to listen to music, or right, I have to listen to country. And I think there's a point where I kind of like, you know, Stockholm syndrome it, where I will start liking it, but it's like, it's 'cause it's forced me, I'm brainwashed, it forced me to like it, you know?
Yeah. No, I think you're right. 'Cause I think I would probably start looking for the aspects of country music I like just kind of sweeten it up and be like, oh, well, I really like this style of country music where they do this or whatever, just to like make it a little better. But yeah, I agree. It's still a terrible option, but I would probably end up liking it by force, like you said. But Christmas music, I don't think there's any way I could be like, oh, no. I really like how they do this in this album and this. No, screw that. That
I really like
terrible.
How this artist said the same words again, but just from a different artist. Jesus, no, I couldn't do it.
But hey, but great question, Louise. I like that one, because yeah, when Andrew kind of put that in our chat or whatever this week, I was like, oh my gosh,
it's a tough one. It is a tough one.
That's like, would you rather drag your nuts through barbed wire or broken glass? I don't know. Neither. I'll just kill myself.
Agree. That's awesome. Yeah, well, that's gonna do it for this episode. Thanks everybody who's listening. Yeah, let us know if you know you like this kind of version. Not really sports talk, but yeah, let us know if you like it. Go follow all of the Two Tight Ends social. It's at Two Tight Ends. The two is the number. It's on, you know, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. We have a YouTube page, so go follow all of those. You guys can follow me at The Thrill Can Kill 5. That's the number 5. Connor, where can they follow you?
Yeah, you can find me at on Instagram at Moco, MOCO.CUDE. And yeah, just go ahead and follow us at the Two Tight Ends accounts. That's where we're going to be posting most of the stuff and keep you up to date.
Yeah, yeah. Connor, what did we learn today, though?
Well, Neil, if there's anything we've learned, especially from shows like The Masked Singer or the WWE, that pretty much if you put any crap on TV, there's going to be an audience for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at Big Bang Theory, one of the longest running shows ever.
Oof, it's so true though. Hey, the first season of that show is incredible. I will say it till I die. The first season is so good, and then they ruin Sheldon's character.
All right, that's a debate for another time. Well, yeah, have a good week, guys. Peace.
See ya.